Father, we want to bow before you and thank you for bringing everyone here. And if some are on their way, bring them here safely. And Lord, may you be honored and just glorified this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's just sing a couple of choruses of O Come, All Ye Faithful. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. One more time. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Well, this morning as we look at a prayer in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Would you turn there, please? Good morning. And so the question I have for you this morning, Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. I have a couple of questions for you. How thankful are you to the Lord? And second question, are we rejoicing in what he has done for us? We will look at a very unusual prayer this morning. This is a prayer by Jesus. And as far as I can find, it's the only prayer where we see Jesus rejoicing. You know, he was such a man of sorrow, but this morning we have a prayer of rejoicing. And so what is he rejoicing over? And I'll read, it's only four verses, and then we'll go back and look at it a little bit. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 10, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and to whom the Son reveals to reveal. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. This, you know, I love John 17 because it's praying for us, the future believers. And this passage in Luke chapter 10, I think, really applies to us, just common, ordinary people. We read in verse 10, after these things, and we've had all of this discussion in Luke chapter 9 with the disciples, with the 12, right? Now we move into 10, into 70 new ones. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. This is amazing to me. This is really a true missionary chapter here, because these are people sent out. We never hear anything about them again. Just 70 sent out. And we notice a number of things. We see the essentials he will provide. They're to carry neither money bag, knapsack, sandals, greet no one along the way, and so forth. And he gives them these instructions. And they come back. And in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And notice, these are nothing people. These are not learned people. These are not scribes. These are not Pharisees. These are not anybody special. These are just ordinary people. And that is so encouraging to me, because that's who he wants to use. Because as we will see here in verse 21, In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. You know, that is so good of the Lord, because if he used people with natural ability, if he used the people with much training, where would that leave you and I? And also, it would so puff up with pride these people, well, I'm prepared, and look what the Lord is doing through me. But here are people who basically, we don't know that they have anything other than they're called babes. They're just called babes. So is that not fitting for you and for me? Now they come back in verse 17. Oh, they're all hyped up. Oh, even the demons are subject to us. And he said, well, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I think there, you get so many different commentators saying so many different things on what that really means. But I think it does mean at an earlier time he saw Satan fall like heaven. But also I think what we're being told there is that our victories in his name cause Satan defeat. Our victories in his name cause Satan defeat. Even if they're just little victories, they're causing him to defeat. He eventually will be cast out. But notice in verse 20, as great as these miracles are, and how many of you would really like to have the gift of miracles so that you could go just do all kinds of things, healing diseases and all these things. But look what he says. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The greatest miracle by far is salvation. Yes. These other miracles on earth don't even compare to that. I mean, so you pray for a guy's arm to be replaced or a knee to be replaced or even somebody resurrected from the dead in these bodies. That's only a temporary thing, right? The bodies are all going to die. And so the arms are all going to fall off eventually. And so, you know, we give doctors so much credit, you know, and we have in the cancer support group all the time we hear these things. The doctor told me I'm going to die. You know, I don't have to go to medical school to learn that. You know, we're all dying, right? So here we rejoice because our names are written in heaven. And your name and my name as a believer is written in heaven. And that's what we really want to rejoice. And in a way, then, as we read on through this passage, it looks like there's something even greater than that. And that is totally submitting to the will of the Father. So totally submitting to the will of the Father. So now Jesus gives praise to the Father. He rejoices in the Spirit and says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. So I believe we're babes. I don't believe we're wise and prudent. I hope we're not, because if we are, he's not going to reveal it to us. All right, thank you. I thank him for passages like Jeremiah 33:3, what a command and two promises, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. As far as I know, there are no restrictions in that verse. I'll show all of you great and mighty things except me. No, it doesn't say that. I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And then he goes on and talks about the sovereignty of God in verse 22. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Son is except to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. So he's revealed himself to all of us, and so how blessed we are, how victorious we are, because we have something more than even given victory over Satan and to do all these kinds of things, although we have some of those abilities too. And then he goes on and he turns to his disciples and says privately, and he could, this is the same blessing for us. Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it. And to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Now, the church age, the New Testament saints, have so much of an advantage over the Old Testament saints, right? You and I have such an advantage over David, over Moses, over Abraham, over Adam. Well, I don't know about Adam, but Noah, and all of these people, because they could only look forward to the Messiah coming. They believed it. They believed the promise, but they hadn't seen it. They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit residing in them. And so we have seen things that the prophets and kings desired to see but never saw it. And we have heard things which they have never heard. So, Christian, are you victorious today? Are you really victorious to the point of being willing to serve the Lord and to do what He's calling you to do? Are you moping around thinking about your problems and thinking how bad this world is? There's a lot of problems out there. But who's overcome the world? So Satan wants to throw everything at you and wants to discourage you. But if we really think what he has done for us, the victory that we really have, how can we not be available for him? That doesn't mean we're always going to feel filled with happiness. We're going to feel a lot of sorrow. But even in our sorrow, we can have that joy of the Lord, can't we? I think of the verse in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, who always, always, not most of the time, not once in a while, but always leads us in triumph in Christ. You know that verse. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Father, we thank you for this encouraging prayer this morning, and we thank you when we see our Lord and Savior rejoicing, and maybe one, if not the only time we see it in the scriptures here, rejoicing in how the common people were used by you, Lord, to see them having power over the demons, to see them doing what they were commissioned to do. And although we never hear from them again, we thank you for the encouragement that is to us, because we're just common, ordinary people without degrees and without pedigrees and all that kind of stuff, which if we had, you couldn't really use us, because then there would be a reason people would say why you're using them, because they're so gifted or whatever. But just to use the ordinary people. And Lord, how victorious are we? How blessed are we? Because we read here, blessed are the eyes which see the things we've seen and the ears which have seen the things we have heard. So we give you glory, and at this Christmas season, Lord, we want to celebrate your coming. But Lord, that's just a small part. You're coming to earth as a man. You were before the foundation of the world. All of this is already done. It's just having you come to the earth for a time to die as a man on the cross, to shed your blood, to take our place, to pay the price of our death sentence so that we wouldn't have to die. And so, Lord, all done now. You have died for us. You've shed your blood for us. And you have been resurrected from the dead. The tomb is empty. And you have ascended into the heavens, into the presence of the Father, and because you live, also we shall live. Oh Lord, may we spread that victorious message wherever we go, as the sweet aroma of Christ diffusing into every place. And so, Lord, now we want to pray, and we want to come before you. We want to intercede, and we want to thank you, but we also want to respond to your Spirit as you've gathered us here to pray this morning. And so lead us now by your Spirit. We give this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name.